And I want you to know, I stopped about two-thirds of the way through that, and they all finished it together. So now that we confessed what we believe about this book, I'm going to ask you to once again open that Bible to the gospel reading for this morning as we take a very close look at the instructions of Jesus Christ for each and every one of us here this morning. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father in heaven, here and now, my prayer is this, that we, your children, will not keep what we know about you as a secret, that we will tell what you have done for us to everyone who is here. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. I want you to notice the title of my sermon this morning. We don't always look at titles, do we? Listen to the title of my sermon. Don't keep it a secret. In other words, start communicating. Some of you may know this gentleman. He's in the Hall of Fame for football. He was the coach for the Fighting Irish for 13 years. Three national titles, Knute Rockne. One day, years ago, of course, his team was doing terrible first half, poorly. And they went dejected into the locker room at halftime. And every one of those players knew that Knute, their coach, would come in and let them have it. So they waited. It was no secret. They were playing poorly. But the coach wanted to communicate in a new way to his team. And so he waited and did not go in during half. Time when all the players were waiting for him. Right about time when it was to go out in the field, Knute, the coach, walked in, looked around at his team, and acted surprised. Oh, I'm sorry, he said. I was looking for the Notre Dame football team, the Fighting Irish. And he turned around and walked out. Everyone in that team followed him out, went out onto the field, and won the game. He communicated in a way that wasn't yelling at him or telling him what they have done wrong. He painted a picture of who they could be or should be. Have you ever had anything lost in translation? You tried to say something and it didn't come across? Like the grandmother is trying to teach her granddaughter some new vocabulary and said, "Dear, would you do me a favor?" "Yes, Grandma, what?" "Would you stop using two words? One is swell and the other is lousy." And the little girl looked at Grandma and said, "Okay, which word is swell, which word is lousy? Tell me." Lost in communication. We have to realize that sometimes the way we communicate is not working. It is God who, in our scripture today, speaks to the disciples about speaking, not keeping it a secret. There once was a gentleman who went to a space project, and he asked one of the technicians, "How are things going?" And the technician said, "Well, not good. We have a major malfunction in the primary propulsion system, which is found in the first stage miracle. And the person went, and he realized something was lost in communication. And so he explained it in another way. He said, you ever play with one of those balsa airplanes with the little propeller? The glider? Yeah, yeah. He said, well, the rubber band is broken. Oh, said the gentleman. Yeah. Sometimes religious jargon can get in the way. Well, today, let's take a look at what Jesus says to each and every one of us. Because the disciples asked a question. Listen once again to these words. When the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? Ever think about that? Why did Jesus speak in parables? Well, he answers the question. It has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. You understand things like, I'm saved by grace through faith. You understand that Jesus came as a baby, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and his victory is your victory. These disciples understood that Jesus was the Messiah. They saw the miracles that he did. The Holy Spirit opened their eyes just like the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes and your ears. But then he says about others. For to one who has, more will be given. That's you, folks. You know about Jesus. And someday what will be given to you is heaven. Remember last week with the toolbox? I spoke to you about it is by grace through faith you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Jesus talked about the immeasurable riches that will be given to you in heaven. So you have a lot right now, wisdom, knowledge, you know the secrets, and someday you'll be in heaven. But there are others who don't know this stuff. Do you realize that? Then he says, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. For those who never come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what they have here on earth, the only thing they have, that too will be taken away from them. They'll lose everything. But you gain even more. Then Jesus solidifies it. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. Jesus, you should understand this as Jesus is weeping. He desires every man to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And he's saying, listen, there are some who don't know what you know. And that's why I speak in parables. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, looking back now to the Old Testament, Isaiah, who proclaimed this, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. Have you ever known anybody's heart or mind to be dull to what the church is trying to say? You know anybody's mind or heart dull to Jesus Christ? Isn't that a lot of people in our world? And with their ears, they can barely hear. And their eyes, they have closed. This is so sad, folks. It should make your heart ache. Lest, this is what Jesus wants. This is what Isaiah wanted. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and I will heal them. This is why we are the church. This is why we have gathered this morning, so others might hear and see and be healed. But blessed are your eyes. Have you ever thought this about the eyes you see with? God has blessed you because you see not only the physical world, you see the spiritual world. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. The prophets of old wanted to see the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. Jesus says to the disciples, you've seen it. All of us here, you've seen it. You see it. You know what Christmas is about. You know what Easter is about. And did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Then Jesus shares the parable that he told before. Let me explain it to you. What we're reading today is sandwiched between a parable and the explanation. Many of you know the parable. It's the parable of the sower, the farmer, who plants seed on purpose on a path among the rocks, among the thorns, and on good ground. On purpose. And then he says, now listen, why do you speak in parables? Because there's some who do not understand. And I want them to understand. That's my heart. That they understand. So it is not lost in translation. A very important author, a great motivational speaker, paid great money to speak, was once asked this question: what's the greatest advice anybody has ever given to you? He thought about it. He said, well, here it is. Do not just tell them with words. Show them with words. And the person said, I don't know what you're saying. Can you give me an example? He says, yeah, let's say Fred has bad BO. You can tell them, Fred here has a terrible case of body odor. You've just told them with words. But you can also show them with words. You could say, now Fred went for a walk in the country. And on his country walk, he came upon a herd of pigs. And when those pigs smelled Fred, in consternation, they ran from him, coughing and gagging. That's showing them with words. Jesus understood that things could be lost in translation. So he simplifies God's plan of salvation, people's response to the plan of salvation, and what would happen from the time of Jesus forward in all of history. He did all that explanation in one simple little story for you and for me. A sower goes out. And on purpose, he sows among the path that people walk. And the birds came. The evil one comes and snatches it up and takes it away. But the explanation is this. Someone hears what you say. The sower is you, 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 and me. The seed is the word of God. And he sows it on the path. And the person who hears it does not understand it. It's lost in translation. We used technical jargon when we should say it in the simplest form. Let me give you an example. You might say to somebody, well, the propitiation of God Almighty is through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And through Him we have justification through faith, and we can live a sanctified life through the redeeming blood. Are you washed in the blood? I don't want to be washed in the blood. Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, Pastor Dreyer, I'd never use religious jargon like that. No? What do you use? When you come upon somebody you know doesn't know Jesus or goes to church or hasn't been in church in a long time, you know what Jesus tells us? Say it in a way they understand. That's why I speak in parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. When Jesus wanted to get something across to the people, He tells a story. The rubber band is broken. Imagine saying to somebody, and this is a story for me, you know, one day my parents took me to Yellowstone, and I walked out in the woods and I got lost. I wandered in circles for hours because I always came back to the same spot, the same rock. And I became so scared. I was so worried. I cried like a baby. Then I cried out to God. I said, "Lord, please help me. I can't get out of these woods." And all of a sudden, my dad's voice, I could hear him, "Tim, where are you?" And my dad came for me, and I was lost, but I was found. My dad isn't perfect by any means, but, you know, it reminds me that's of my Heavenly Father who has found me and has saved me. You know, if you're ever lost, if you're ever scared, if you ever don't know what to do, if you're ever crying, I want you to know the Heavenly Father loves you and will find you. It's a story. It's real. Every one of you has a story. You do. Have you ever practiced it? Have you ever shared with somebody that you're alive today because of Jesus? That you are who you are today because of Jesus? Have you ever said to somebody, "Because of Jesus, I have my wife and my children"? Gerald, have you ever said that to someone? Have you ever said to somebody, "Everything I own is because of Jesus. And someday when I die, I'm not scared. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus"? Have you ever said that to somebody? Why are you keeping it a secret? Tell the story. Oh, say, "Oh, Pastor Dreyer, I don't have a story." That's fine. Then tell the stories that Jesus has told you. Why do you think He's given us the parables? So that if you're wondering about heaven and hell, you can tell the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. If you meet somebody who's lost and doesn't know Jesus, you can tell the story about the lost coin and the lost sheep. If you want to speak to somebody about finances, you can tell about the story of the talents. And now God gives everything. Maybe you know somebody who thinks that God would never forgive them for what they've done. You can tell the beautiful story of the prodigal son. Why keep it a secret? Parents, you should be telling stories to your children. Grandparents, you got more time. Tell the stories about what Jesus has done for you. Tell the stories of the Bible to your grandchildren. And if anybody will listen, tell the stories. So Jesus says, so this one was told in a way they didn't understand. That's why He told the parable. Then He says, then some of that fell on rocky soil, planted there, didn't have root. And He explains what happens. They rejoiced. Their heart was happy. You ever know anybody who comes to the Lord and they're so happy and excited being in the church? And then Jesus explains what happens. Then persecution and tribulation because of the word of God. Somebody says, oh, you believe the Bible? Pfft, hogwash. Oh, you're becoming a Jesus freak? And they go, oh. I notice you're so different now. You don't want to hang out with us. Oh. And they fall away. We have to come alongside young Christians and encourage them. That one was lost. The third one, it fell among the thorns and grew up. And the thorns choked off the word of God. Jesus explains that. That's the cares of the world. Pleasure, soccer, football, paying off debt, getting a second job, getting so caught up in this world, the cares of the world. I got to do this. I got to do this. And it chokes off the word of God. And then he says it's also the dishonesty of riches. The lies that riches proclaim in our world today. Oh, when I win the lottery. Oh, when I finally make enough money and the stock market goes high enough, I'll be okay. And when I see the rich people and all that they have, I know they're happy and they're fulfilled. And they're better off than I am. It's a lie from the devil. Your fulfillment and happiness comes from Jesus. You see that and you know it. They don't. And you're going to have riches unmeasurable in heaven. They won't. And it choked off the word of God. But finally, one out of four ain't bad. It grows and it multiplies by 160, the minimum 30. Now you could say, oh gosh, only one out of four, 25%. That's bad news, Pastor. But you keep on sowing. You keep telling the stories. And that one out of four produces 100. One out of four that produces 100. Well, that's pretty good. That's great news. How does that happen? When we share the stories, when we tell our story, when we become serious, as he was trying to instruct those disciples, serious about somebody who doesn't understand, who doesn't see what you see. Are you serious? Quit keeping it a secret, please. Tell the stories, your story, to your children, your grandchildren, friends, and neighbors. It's very easy. That's what Jesus says through Isaiah. Who will go? Who will go and tell? I can't be the only one. We all have to say, send me. I'm the best grandfather and father and grandmother and sister and brother there is. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we love to tell the story. May it be our theme in this life. In Jesus' name I do pray, send me, send me. Amen.